Hello and welcome to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. Thanks for tuning in. As children, we're taught to say sorry when we've done wrong. Somehow, when we reach adulthood, it's a difficult behaviour to employ. The Old Testament character Job found the benefit of accepting correction. Tonight, Dr. Corbett continues this series with the discussion, Job, sorry, I was wrong.
Let's turn to the book of Job, please. And we're going to see in our second last session now the response of Elihu. Now, you remember the whole story of Job is really his pursuit to find answers to his situation. And you know, Job wasn't given any answers. In fact, we're going to see in our next session that, in fact, God came with 66 questions to Job. Didn't answer any of his questions, but gave him 66 questions. And really, we learned from what happened to Job that life is not made any easier when we have answers to our questions. And especially when we're suffering, when we're going through hard and difficult times, when things haven't gone the way we'd hoped. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. The things that you hoped would happen can actually end up causing us to become ill when they don't go the way we thought they would go. And we see that in the life of Job. So answers really are not the answer to life. And clearly that comes out in this book. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And let's open our ears to hear. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. We ask, Lord, that your word would bring sharp, clear revelation. I pray, Father, that as I share your word, you would minister to people through your word, by your Holy Spirit. Even if it's not the word that I had intended, maybe the word you had intended for your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the story of Job, and we're going to look at the response of Elihu. Elihu was one of the colleagues of Job, not classed as one of the three friends, and this fellow begins his response to Job in chapter 32. And so we find Elihu is speaking for the next few chapters. He speaks up through to chapter 37. And the interesting thing about it, and I want to show you this in a moment, is that when God appears in chapter 38 and continues through to the closing chapter, chapter 42, we find that God rebukes Job and Job repents. We find that God also rebukes the three friends, and they repent. But he doesn't rebuke Elihu. Now, I've read some commentators who have said that Elihu was just as bad as the three friends, and I just totally disagree. And I want to show you why. So let's overview the book of Job. Let's just do an outline of his story so that we're all up to speed with what's happened. So in chapter 1 and the early part of chapter 2, we're introduced with what's really going on. There's something going on in the heavenly realm where Satan has accused God of not having any fully devoted followers. Satan says to Job, the only reason people follow you is because of what you do for them or what you give them. Stop doing things for them and stop giving them things and they'll abandon you. And so God offers one of his fully devoted followers as a test. His name is Job. The thing that is most remarkable about Job and these other characters is the amazing amount of revelation they had about who God was. When you read through the book of Job, believed to be the oldest book in the Bible, you're reading revelation that is saturated in New Testament theology. Now that might sound like a mouthful, but let me explain. In the book of Job, we find reference to the Trinity. We find reference to the Father. We find reference to the Spirit. We find reference to the Son. In the book of Job, we find reference to the resurrection, physical resurrection. One day, we will all die, and there will be a day, according to Scripture, where we will be physically resurrected. That's in the book of Job. That revelation didn't unfold until the New Testament. In the book of Job, we find reference to God's creation, how he created things. And again, not really unfolded until the New Testament. This is an awesome book. We find in the speech of Elihu a prophetic statement that one day God would send a ransom for the sin of mankind. Now, this is awesome stuff. There's a lot of gems, there's a lot of jewels in the book of Job. So while we might think, oh, this is, you know, what is this? This is just a poetic sort of argument that makes no sense to me. We're about to now move into a completely different phase as we look at the response of Elihu. But in chapters 1 and 2, we see that Satan accused God of lacking any truly devoted followers. We then find that the Lord permitted Satan to test Job with tragedy and suffering. We then find that Job's friends come to him and they sit with him quietly for a week. After a week, Job pipes up and says, "I don't know why this is happening to me." And one after another, his three friends say, "Bad things happen to bad people." Job responds to that, "I haven't done anything bad." And they respond, "Well, maybe you haven't realized you've done something bad, but God only ever punishes the wicked. He never punishes the righteous. Job, you're a sinner. We know it. Just fess up." And Job then digs his heels in even further. He makes the bold claim, not only hadn't he done anything to deserve this, he'd never sinned. He was completely innocent. Wow. So in the background to this happening is a young man by the name of Elihu, the only one with a name that had any trace of belonging to God. So this is a somewhat of a mysterious character. You know, in the Hebrew, the word El means God. And so Elihu, a man of God, is sitting watching this. And when he speaks, he doesn't speak out of guesswork like these three counselors we're going to see. He passionately speaks with insight. And the awesome thing is, I believe what Elihu said to Job was a prophetic word into a terrible situation. I remember when my father-in-law died, I was dumbstruck. I was quite close to my father-in-law. I remember my mother-in-law rang me before she rang Kim. And I had just dropped Kim off at the supermarket. And I came to the office, I got the call, and I went into shock. And he died at the age of 62. He was a fitness fanatic. He was a health food fanatic. It should, you know, in the natural, it should never have happened. But it was just one of those things. And so I remember when I picked Kim up from the supermarket, and she could see that I was shaking, and I was quivering. And then she said, "What's the matter?" And I broke down. I just burst into tears, and I was a mess. And at the time, we were copying a lot of criticism and so on from different sources. And she said, "It'll be okay, God." I said, "No, it's not that. I can handle that. That's not that." And I told her what had happened. And I remember that the whole emotion of that and then being asked to take the funeral, I'm thinking, "Oh, can I do it?" And then I'm thinking, "What am I going to say to my mother-in-law?" And then I found myself saying this, because I'd been told this: no words could ever bring comfort. No words could ever bring healing. And you know, the moment I started to think that, I felt as clear as anything the rebuke of the Holy Spirit saying to me, "Don't you ever say words cannot bring healing. Don't you ever say words cannot bring comfort. You hold on your lap what God considers to be one of the most valuable sources of comfort you'll ever have. It's His Word. You hold on your lap what God considers to be one of the most potent sources of strength you can have to face daily living. Is that right? Words are very powerful, and the Bible says that. The Bible says that that life and death are in the power of words. The words you speak are very powerful. Now, I want you to see here as we look at what Elihu shared, that some of it's even going to sound the same as what the three friends said. And you could think, well, hang on, he's just saying almost what these three just said. These three get caned by God. This guy gets applauded by God. What's the difference? This guy says, the Spirit of God is upon me. I can't hold this back. God is upon me. Let me speak this word. And if nothing else, it highlights this, that two people can say the same thing but be coming from completely different directions and they'll have completely different impact. That's why when you read some of the old sermons that George Whitefield and John Wesley preached, and they're described by various commentators as the greatest preachers ever to have lived, and you read them and they're like as dry as chips. Because we can't capture the heart from where they're coming. Just, we weren't there. Now here's Elihu. And it says the Spirit of God is upon him. And he's speaking prophetically into this situation. And this is awesome because there is a sense in which when the prophetic word is spoken, the presence of God is manifested. And it says that in 1 Corinthians 14. You remember in 1 Corinthians 14, it says when an unbeliever walks into your gathering and hears the prophetic, he'll know that God is in your midst. God is in your midst. And Elihu is going to make some incredibly bold claims, as we'll see in a moment. So what did Elihu assert? We've got three old men with Job, similarly aged, having this debate with a man who's in agony, who's gone through emotional trauma and upheaval, losing his family, his wealth, his health. And there's a young man watching this, standing and watching this. What's the first thing he says? Well, as you have a look in chapter 32, verses 4 and 5 of Job, we'll have a look at that. This is what he says. Now, because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But, verse 8, there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Now Elihu is claiming that his understanding is not his own. He's claiming that he has a wisdom and an understanding into this situation that's not his own. And as you read through this, you'll see that he appeals to the fact that he's just like Job. And we'll see this in a moment. So this is interesting. Here we have three men with Job expressing their ideas and opinions. A man walks into this picture and he has the word of the Lord, Elihu. Psalm 119 verse 100 says, if you will allow the word of God to fill your mind, you will have wisdom beyond your years. The psalmist says, you have made me because of your law in my heart. You have made me wiser than my elders. This is amazing that Elihu was, and as we're going to see from what he had to say, he knew God. He knew God. In chapter 32 and verse 18, he said that he sensed the Spirit of God was upon him. In chapter 33 and verse 6, he says to Job, look, I'm not better than you. I'm not standing here as someone who's got all the answers and got my own act together. I'm just like you, which is an interesting tip for how we can minister the word of God to others as well. He states that God actually can communicate with anyone. So while he's there saying, God has spoken to me, he's not claiming that he's got a hotline to God. He says God can speak to anyone. And in chapter 33, verses 14 to 17, he says God can speak to you in various ways. God can speak to you as if you're hearing him in your heart. God can speak to you in a vision. God can speak to you in a dream. God can speak. And the implication there is that God longs to speak. God wants to speak to us. We should take the time to hear God's voice. It reminds me of the Jewish man that was concerned about his son that he sent off to study in Jerusalem, you know, from America, and went to, and next thing he gets a report that his son has converted to Christianity. And he was very, very distressed. So he went to one of the elders of the synagogue and said, Yoshi, I'm very distressed. I sent my son from here to Jerusalem to study, and he's become a Christian. What can I do? And the elder says, Oy vey, I sent my son as well, and he became a Christian. And so together they said, well, what can we do? And they said, well, let's go and talk to the rabbi. So they go and talk to the rabbi of the synagogue, and they said, Rabbi, we're very distressed, we two men, because we both sent our sons to Jerusalem to study, and while there they both became a Christian. And the rabbi says, Oy vey, mine too? And so the rabbi says, we should take this directly to God. So they go to God, and the three of them says, God, we sent our son to Jerusalem and he became a Christian. And God says, mine too. Some of you saw where that was going. I appreciate the laughter anyway. Praise God. All right. He prophesied. Now this is Elihu in the midst of the situation. He prophesied that God would send his son as a ransom to redeem mankind. Chapter 33, verses 23 to 24. Now, this is interesting. In the midst of the situation that Job is in, Elihu is revealing Jesus. He's ministering Jesus. There's a very powerful tip. He's ministering Jesus. Elihu asserts, chapter 33, verse 26, that God is good and he actually takes joy in people. Because Job's perception was that God was someone who delighted in punishing and inflicting trouble upon people as if he was just some big tyrant. But Elihu says, no, God loves people. He takes joy in people. So what's he doing? In the midst of Job's situation where Job had twisted his concept of God, Elihu was straightening it out. Elihu was saying, no, you might be going through this, your circumstances might be saying this to you, but I'm here today to tell you that the word of God says God is good. God is a good God. Job, you may not understand what's happening here, but I'm telling you, God is good. He's ministering the goodness of God. The Bible says you can actually feed off that. William Wilberforce, as he approached the twilight days of his life, repeatedly quoted the psalm, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, because he knew God. And despite everything he went to in his final years, he lost one of his daughters to tuberculosis. He lost one of his other daughters to influenza. One of his sons went bankrupt and took him down with him because he was guarantor. He lost everything. And yet he told people, God is good. His goodness has followed me all the days of my life. Isn't that awesome? Elihu said that by claiming to be sinless, Job was actually committing the great sin of pride. The great sin of pride. Job 34 verses 5 and 6. And of course in 1 John 1:10 it says, if any of us claim that we haven't sinned, we actually call God a liar. And the motivation for saying we haven't sinned is really pride. Pride is a killer. I'm not sure if it's the greatest sin, because I think the greatest sin is what pride causes to be committed, and that is rejection of God's salvation. That's the greatest sin. You reject God's salvation because of your pride, the consequences are eternal. In Job 34 and verse 9, in essence, we could sum that up. Elihu is saying, focus on God, the giver, not the gifts. He says, you know, your wealth, if you think of that as the focus of your life, if you think of your wealth as the reason that life has any meaning or purpose, Job, that could go straight away. It'll evaporate, and then what's life all about? Job, that's not what life's about. Okay, you've lost things, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. 9, he says we should always, not just to Job, he says we should always live to honour God regardless of the benefit. Job chapter 35 and verse 3. So we're reminded of what Satan actually said to God. People only love you, they only serve you, they only follow you for what you do for them, what you give to them. Here's Elihu saying, Job, we should live to honour God no matter what benefit we get. Job's there in the midst of his depression, he has said, well, blow this, I've lived a righteous life and look where it's got me. I went to church, I tithed, I did everything I was told to do, and now look at me. And Elihu says, what do you mean? When you say you lived a righteous life, therefore gimme, 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 were you only living a righteous life for what you could get? Well, Job, when you say you did all these things for God, and now you're not happy with what God has given you, are you really saying you were doing some deal with God? Job, don't serve God for what you can get. Serve God because you want to honour him. Powerful truth. How many people go through life and they don't get their own way? Well, blow this. Blow it. Danny Guglielmucci told the story of a guy who came into his church. I think I shared this just recently where the guy said, Danny, you know, I just want to serve. I just want to be here to serve you. And Danny said, that's great. And the guy was really saying, put me on staff. And as the church grew from 400 to 800, Danny had to make a staff appointment. And he appointed somebody else. And this guy got ticked off. And he began to cause division and murmur against Danny. And Danny went to this guy and said, you know, brother, the word says, mark a man who causes division and have nothing to do with him. Brother, it seems that you're causing division. Will you repent of this? And the guy saw it in the word, and he did. He repented. He told Danny, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I'm sorry. The church grew from 800 to whatever, 1500. Danny had to make another staff appointment, and he appointed somebody else. Now the guy was really ticked off. Really ticked off. Claiming that he'd been promised this virtually. Claiming that he, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. Claiming that it was a, you know, Danny was a sort of a, what do you call it, a power hungry, whatever, whatever. It's all about control with Danny, you know, Danny shares this story. And so he had to go and see the guy again and say, fellow brother, you said you this attitude, you repented of this. It's obvious that you haven't. And the word of God says we'd have nothing to do with you. And from that point, the church grew again. But this guy's attitude was, I'm doing this for what I can get. Elihu says to Job, that's not why we serve God. We don't serve God for what we can get. We serve God because we want to honour him, despite what we can get. I'm moved greatly by the words of Paul the Apostle, where he says, you know, as far as my countrymen, Romans 9:10-11, he says it in there, my countrymen, I would give up my salvation if it meant they could be saved in my place. Man, isn't that awesome? The heart of this guy. In Job 36, verses 18 and 19, he says to Job, you know, you can have wealth and it can go. You can have friends and they can go. Life isn't about what you get or what you lose. Didn't Jesus say something similar to that? Life is not summed up by the possessions you have. This is New Testament stuff that Elihu is giving Job. Life is not about what you get or what you lose. There's more to it. So what is it? Elihu has said to him, honour God no matter what your circumstance. God is a good God. No matter what your circumstances tell you, God is good. Elihu has said to him, you could lose everything, but that doesn't mean life is pointless. Where is he going with this? What's he about to say? And here, I guess we could wrap up what he says to Job when he says, life is about knowing, honouring, and communing with God. And if we look at all the things that Job lost, he lost his family, the place where most people crave love. Most people think if we can get family in order, we'll have love. He lost that. He lost love. He lost the challenge of his business because all his cattle were stolen and plundered. His entire business and all the challenges that came along with that, gone. The thrill of business, gone. What else did he lose? He lost his health and he had more questions than he knew what to do with. That which he used to ponder as a mystery was no longer out there. It was right in here now because it affected him. And having been jolted by a loss of family, having been jolted by a loss of wealth, having been jolted by a loss of health, having his friends turn on him, what security did he have? There was just nothing secure in his life anymore. And you know that when we lose a sense of security, we become, you know, very, very vulnerable. And what does Elihu say? He says, Job, those things that you thought brought that's not what life is about. Life is about knowing, honouring and communing with God because he is the one who can give your life love. Isn't he? He's the one who can give your life love. You know, you might feel at times, I don't feel loved. And you know, that is never true. Never true. Because God loves you. And if that's just a cliche to you, dig deeper. Get to know this God who really does love you. I remember hearing the testimony of Bobby Lim, who was going through a breakdown in his life. Just things just come to a terrible, terrible place in his life. And he was out in his garden. Brokenness was all upon him, and he was just admiring a rose. And as he admired the rose, a breeze came by and a petal fell off. And he knew God was talking to him. And from something as simple as that, Bobby Rose called upon the name of the Lord and became a Christian. Because there was something that he thought was at least a rose was secure. At least I can admire a rose. And before his eyes, the petals fell off. And he knew God was saying, will you look to me? Will you look to me? Job had missed the thrill of things, but God is one who is all thrilling. He is literally awesome. I know that's a cliche today, but God literally is awesome. You can ponder God and never soak him in. And this is what Elihu was saying to Job. God really is mysterious. The mysteries that you can ponder in a textbook, the mysteries that you can ponder in life, don't compare to getting to know God. And God is eternal. He was there yesterday, he's here today, and he'll be there tomorrow. God is eternal. That gives a great sense of eternal security. This is amazing, that Elihu could hear God. That Elihu could hear the Spirit of God speaking and could communicate that. This is before the day of Pentecost. This is before the era of the prophets of Israel. This is just a man who pressed in to get to know God. And you can hear God. You can hear God. God wants to speak to you. And I believe God's saying things to people in this room. You know, yesterday, Amanda, I just sensed that the Lord was saying to you that he's going to cause you to come into a place where you will experience rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. Rivers of living water. That's what it says in John 7. Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you rivers of living water that'll flow out of you. Just sense God wants to say that to you. And to Eddie, you know, as you were sharing this morning, I just sensed the Lord was saying that the year of the cankerworm and the locust that he has destroyed, he's going to make it up for you. And the best days of your life are ahead. We can hear from God. What are we looking for in life? What are we really looking for? We're looking for love. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. Someone has said immature love is when you're just infatuated with someone. Mature love is when you actually get to know them. And despite that, you still love them. That's mature love. And that's how God loves us. He knows us to the core, but he still loves us. We're looking for a thrill. We're looking for a new thing, a new adventure. God is that. He really is awesome. What are we looking for? We're looking for wisdom and knowledge. Then look to God. Elihu says that wisdom and knowledge begins when you understand how mysterious and awesome God really is. And what are we all looking for? Peace and security. Just to know it's going to be okay. Only God can give that assurance. And Elihu says to Job that God is the one who doesn't change. Focus on him. These are awesome words. As Elihu ministered the word of the Lord to Job, perhaps he was over there hearing this while they're speaking, he's praying. While they're speaking, he's waiting on God. While they're speaking, he and they finish, he comes with the word of the Lord. And as he speaks, something is happening in the life of Job. Because as Elihu finished speaking the word of the Lord, all of a sudden, and it was literally all of a sudden, the five of them were in the presence of God. And God himself was now speaking. Let's stand. Jesus, as the worship team comes, Jesus, Jesus, come on, we can press in like never before. No matter what you're going through, no matter what distractions the enemy wants to bring your way, because really when you think about it, all the things that happened to Job were really distractions, and Elihu was the one who was bringing Job back to the true focal point. The enemy just merely wants to take your attention off God. He wants you to get your eyes onto your circumstances, your eyes onto others, your eyes even onto your problems. But Elihu came with a word to Job to get his eyes onto God. Stop being so proud, humble yourself, and cast yourself into the hands of God. We can be confident in this, that God really is Lord. He really will have his way. No matter where your life has gone or come from, no matter where your life is at this point, God is Lord. Elihu said to Job, "Do you think your sin alters the plan of God one iota?" Not at all. God really is in control. Perhaps you're here and you've been resisting God. Perhaps you're here and you've succumbed to the distractions of the enemy. Perhaps you're here and you know that the only thing between you and God is your own pride. The word of the Lord has been shared in a way that can cause breakthrough in your life. And so, Father, I pray that we would each receive that breakthrough. That, Lord, we would once again look to you as the focal point of our life. Lord Jesus, I pray, help us to draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Job, sorry, I was wrong. Accepting correction is not comfortable, but as Job discovered, it was the beginning of better things. Next Thursday night at 9 on Finding Truth Matters, Dr. Corbett continues this series with the final discussion on Job. If you would like to purchase an audio CD copy of tonight's program for $5.50, including postage and handling, contact Lagana Media at www.lagana.org. or at P.O. Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. Please quote the program title, Job, Sorry, I Was Wrong. Finding Truth Matters is a production of Lagana Media. We look forward to joining you next week for another Finding Truth Matters.